The boys were called edgy, told they'd never make it past 5 episodes. Well, here those podcast jerks are, back for season 2. The Boys in the Woods Podcast, the show your mother warned you about and that your dad is hiding in the basement listening to. Get ready for the Boys in the Woods Podcast.
Welcome, Charles, and today we got Rye, a host of Codex of Curiosities on YouTube and Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find him everywhere and anywhere. He's got plenty of interesting things. The man, people don't know what Codex is. That's the funny thing.
It's a great story. It's something I stumbled upon about 10 years ago, and that's a whole other. To make a long story short, I was looking for something and I found this profession in Venice many moons ago. And what this person was is they would guide people from point A to point B. People would pay them money and they would guide them along on their journey at night with a lantern and protect them from thieves, robbers, ghosts, and demons. And yes, and they would also along the way tell stories. They would also pick up stories along the way. And this moniker stuck with me for many different other things. And when I was rebranding my podcast, because I did a little bit of a split recently, I was like, I need to use it. And so this is where it came from.
That's fantastic. I love that. My gamer tag, Viracocha, I love the story of Viracocha and the sun god down there in good old South America.
Yes, yes, yeah. There is so many names for the main sun god or the main god down here. Quetzalcoatl, I'm trying to remember, but like the Mayan and the Aztec is big here. So yeah, if people don't know when you say down here, that I'm in Mexico. I moved to Mexico.
And listen, today's television is wild. We'll just say up here in the States. How is life in Mexico? POV.
Okay. So I know so many people are like, oh, Mexico's scary. I'm not going to Mexico. It's terrifying. And yes, but no. So it all depends on where you go. I'm sure it's the same in the States.
Very much so. I'm not going to send you to Detroit. I've never sent you.
Or Chicago. Like, yeah. Everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The list continues on and on. Yeah.
And so there's places like that here as well. I'm in what's called the Yucatan Peninsula. And it's pretty damn safe. Actually, there is one city that is about an hour and a half away from where I live. It is the second safest city in all of the Americas. So that includes North and South America.
That's
so
easy.
Yeah. So it's and there's a large expat community that lives there, and it's great. Yeah. Other than it gets hot.
Yeah. So see, and that's something I can't stress to our listeners enough as we go down this journey, because we've talked from people really almost all over the world at this point. There are long lines right now. We're trying to shorten them up, but from Mexico to Australia, Switzerland, and it's all been the same thing where they go, listen, there's places that I wouldn't send you, but it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, and it's safe. You have to be smart about where you go, and it's holy shit, yeah. That's the same thing in all of America. Like, you just, the media today is fun. I love
There's places in my subdivision I don't want to go.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I would say. The media is just likes to put a spin on things, and they want everybody just to stay where they're at and don't move and shelter in place is pretty much what they want you to do.
Yeah. So I hear a little bit of the Canadian in you still.
Yes.
What brought you to Mexico?
My wife? No.
Oh, yeah. So, that's a beautiful reason. Beautiful reason.
We met in Canada. She's Mexican, and she was working for a Canadian company. I moved down to Mexico the first time with her. Her Canadian company said, we need some people to work in Mexico. And so they asked her if she wanted to.
Please.
She said, yes. Yeah. And she's like, you want to come? So I said, sure. So that was 3.5 years. And in that time, we're just dating at that time. In that time, we got married and we had a kid. We had a daughter. And then we moved back to Canada for about 4 years. And then we just wanted a change of pace. Things were getting weird in Canada. And we said, let's go back to Mexico. So we're here in the city where she was born and raised, and with her parents are here and everything. It's nice.
That's very nice.
Let's not sugarcoat it. We have a couple friends of the show that live in Canada, and they can't wait to get out of there either.
Yeah. Brendan from Gold Rush.
The show Gold Rush. Yeah, he doesn't like their taxes and their politics.
The politics right now are absolutely horrendous. It is, I don't know. I used to be proud to say I was Canadian. No, not anymore. And this is something I just heard a good friend of mine. He's on the pod. He one of the partners on the podcast, Grimerica. And he says I'm ashamed to call myself Canadian. And I'm like, yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like as we go through this crazy life cycle, we have moments where we're just damn glad to call ourselves human. And
yeah. Check my pulse. Yeah, I'm still alive. I'm still living.
Please wake up right now.
Right. Amen. Amen to that.
Patrick, go ahead. Hit him. We'll jump back and forth.
We had a load of list of questions for you, but we just settled on a few of them.
No problem.
I'm very interested because I did listen to the podcast. I have listened to, I think, 12 episodes now. Oh, wow. I have a gist of what it is. Charles doesn't exactly understand your podcast. He understands the premise behind it.
Yep.
But I guess give us a little bit of interest, a little bit of insight, a little interested in insight on what it is about in your podcast. I know you jump all over the place, but
I do.
For the people
I do,
out there who haven't heard it yet, give them a little taste.
So my podcast is, I give a platform for people who have experienced, probably best way to say it, to sum it all up, high strangeness. Anything from UFOs, alien abduction, paranormal, cryptids. And cryptids are like Bigfoot, Dogman, Mothman, anything like that. And then also just plain high strangeness, glitch in the matrix kind of, Mandela, ancient history, cover-ups, Nephilim seems to be something I'm going after right now, which is super fascinating. I find that really fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I give people a place to come, tell their story. And I don't like calling it a story seems to be, I like saying story, but it's experience. Because some people have a negative connotation with story. They think like it's made up. But no, these are people's truths.
Well, for all intents and purposes, for this show, the definition of stories is truth as it be told by the person you heard it from.
Sure. Truth experience.
That way we don't, because we don't want to upset anyone moving forward, because a lot of these absolutely 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect segue to an exciting question. So you hear these experiences, these stories often.
Yeah.
What's the one that pops into your mind right off the bat? It makes your skin crawl or kept you awake at night. I'm excited to hear this.
So this one would be from a gentleman named Matt Emch. He has his own podcast now called Planet 412. And his experience is by far probably the scariest, one of the top scariest experiences I've ever heard. And I'm not just talking my podcast, I'm talking everyone's. And what it was, him and a group of friends are living in Youngstown, Ohio. And they used to go down to these old abandoned factories, these ironwork factories, and right by these railroad tracks. And they go down there and they hang out with, it was about, how many, there was four of them in total. And they would go there, hang out, and they were just having a good time. They would have a fire actually inside one of these factories, and they just kids. And I think they're about 14 years old, maybe 12 to 14 and around that age. And there was a lot of wild dogs in the area as well. And they heard these wild dogs barking and coming running towards them up the tracks. And they're watching them with trepidation, thinking, okay, what are these dogs going to do? The dogs then veered off and they went up this hill of, and I don't know the exact word for it, but it's like smelted or ash or something. It's just big piles of coke. They used to call it coke. That's what they called it. And they went on the other side of it. They couldn't see him. And on the other side, they could hear this fight ensuing. And these dogs were getting the crap kicked out of them. And they could hear him yelping, and they'd even see a dog come flying over. And they're like, so they're all standing out on a loading dock watching this. And one of the dogs gets flown over, and it's flayed. It is almost flayed. Like half of its skin is off, and the boys are just standing there. What is going on? That was at the point. Then all of a sudden, the dogs just took off and went back the way they came, running. and they sat there, and then that's when this creature stepped onto the top, to the peak of this hill. And this creature was, like, the words that are being used are dogman, but I think that's an understatement. It was a beast. I call it the beast. And yeah, it was equivalent of a mix of a werewolf, a polar bear. It was the size of a polar bear. And they said it was huge. They could tell it was a male because when it got to the top, it lifted its leg and did its business. And they said, yeah, it was like a fire hose. And they're just all standing there. And this creature's, and this is another thing, and this is a common thing with cryptids, eyes are glowing. They're not like flashlights, but they're producing like an ambiance type of light. Right, and there are these yellow glowing eyes. And it was focused on where these dogs were running. One of the friends, and this is like horror story kind of thing that happens. This only happens in the movies.
Right.
One of the friends started freaking out, started backing up. Now, they used to have these large, they called them like shields that they had stood up all around kind of thing. It was to block people from looking in. But one of them backed up and hit into one of these things, this purely large, heavy metal. It fell. It actually fell down and it hit the ground. Of course, yeah, it's like a bell, exactly like you did, but even louder. So, boom, this creature then is staring right at them. And it lets out this, and we call this infrasound. In this cryptic community, we call it infrasound, where it just let out this, I don't want to say howl, but it was this sound that reverberates through. It's like standing right in front of like bass speakers at a concert. And a couple of them soiled themselves, wet themselves. Like you just stop all body function and they couldn't move. And it looked at each and every one. And then it did it again. But this time it was less of an effect. And they were then able to move because they were frozen in place. They were then able to move. They ran into this building and they're like, what do we do? What do we do? There's no way out of this building. So they went up the stairs. Now the stairs, again, this is like horror movie kind of stuff. The stairs are cement stairs, but half of them are missing in certain places. Not, I don't say half, like maybe four steps are missing. Yeah. So they're having to jump and go and climb, and they get up. So they get up to the third level, and one, and they're all standing there. And the one boy is the one who knocked over the thing before, is losing his shit. He's just going bananas. And so my friend, because Matt has now become a close friend of mine, Matt grabbed him and he's like, you need to stop. You need to calm down. Like you are like, and he said he was almost like choking him. You have to stop this. You have to stop this. We need to be quiet. We can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so then this boy and another one ran to the fourth floor. They were able to get up to the fourth floor. At the fourth floor, there was like the roof. But there used to be a fire exit off this roof. There wasn't anymore because it had fallen off and gone. So they said that they're standing there on the third floor and a balcony. It's a balcony, but it has a cement like railing. You could peek over, but you can't see underneath. So they said him and the one boy are standing there and they're looking over. And that's when this creature enters into the warehouse. And they said it was absolutely terrifying and it was huge. They said the shadow that it casted literally went up two stories because they had a fire burning so it went up two stories. They said it was jet black and they said it was like the hair was well kept. It was short and well kept and it had this long tail as well. And they said so it entered, it came near the fire, and this is when things got even stranger. So when it stepped near the fire, it was as if it started sparking. The one paw started sparking and was disappearing. It was going like shimmery. If you ever watched The Predator, when they go, they said it was doing that. So the one paw started to disappear and it's sitting there and it's looking. They said they could hear water running when it entered. And they didn't know what that was till they actually saw. It was literally the saliva running out of this creature's mouth and hitting the ground. It was that much water, saliva that was coming out that they thought it was running water. Now, this creature is looking. It doesn't see them. Then it gives a couple big sniffs in the air, and it looks up, and it sees the two. So it sees Matt and his friend. And they said, then this creature comes up these stairs without a problem, leaps over these broken stairs. It makes it to the second floor, and they're on the third floor. It starts to get up to the third floor, and it's It is right at the top of the third floor, at the top of the stairs. They said, he said he, in his mind, he's like, this is it. This is when I die. This is how I die. I think I'm going to be eaten first. We're all going to be eaten by this creature.
Yeah.
And he had pretty much within that time, the life flash, the little life that he had flashed before his eyes. He says, that's when it happened. This creature is standing there. And he says, for as long as they have come down to this factory, never, ever has a train ever blown its horn. This was the first time ever. A train was coming through at this exact moment, blew its loud horn. This creature snapped its head, was looking at the train because it was right by a window. It could see the train approaching. So it snapped its head. It looked, then it looked back, and then the horn blew again. And it looked at it, looked back, and then took off. It ran it ran away at that point. They say they don't know if the engineer saw this creature or not, but it was like, by the grace of God, this guy saved their lives. So they said they waited there for, I think it was about an hour or two. It was about 2 hours. They waited. They didn't move, didn't know what to do. They're like, we got to do something. And the one boy's, I'm not leaving. This is the same one who was terrified before. He's, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. And they're like, no, we need to go back home. Now, the trip back home wasn't an easy one. So they said, listen, we're going. You can stay here if you want to. See you later. We're going. Yeah. And of course, he came. So the way back, they had to go through a field. Then they had to go through a gravel pit. And through this gravel pit, they had to climb a steep hill that was all gravel. When you're trying to climb gravel, it's like you're sliding back down. You're gaining, you gain one step and you lose a half a step. But in their minds, this is the most terrifying because you're trying to escape something. They don't know where it is.
It exactly. could be right behind them at any moment.
Exactly. So they're going up and they're just like terrified. And sometimes you can even slide back down, and they've done that before. So they start sliding back down and they're like screaming and they're trying to get up. So they made it. They eventually made it. They made it on the top of this hill. They had to cross a highway. And their buddy's house was very near there. They went to his house. He says he never drank so much water ever. Grabbed the hose, and they're just drinking. And then they all started throwing up, too. They all started puking as well.
Yeah.
Adrenaline and everything.
So this was the story. They ended up all coming together and they decided they needed to tell their parents. Most of the parents blew them off, except for the one parent who was... He never actually came out and said, so Matt has not come out and said who he is or what he was in the city, but I believe he was either the mayor or some other high official. He said, I told you to never, ever go down there, never go down there again. He never acknowledged anything. He never said that you were lying, and he did. And I guess it was months later, they confronted him again, and they're like, or the one son did. He's like, why don't you believe me? He's like, I don't ever go down there again. This is not the first time we've heard something like this.
Yeah.
So this creature was sighted down there. The local authorities knew of this sighting, that this thing down there. So this was by far the most, even talking about it, my stomach's still up and high in my chest. And so this was by far the one story that keeps me up at night. And Matt has become actually a really close friend of mine. And he's part of that Supernatural Town Hall sessions that we do live on Sundays. So he's that's not just, he's not like a one trick pony as well. He's got a near death experience. He's got a ton of stuff. So he's got a ton of stories. So I've done two interviews with him. The first interview was with my ex-partner. I think I called it like Terror at the Warehouse. And the second one was Surviving the Beast. And Surviving the Beast is everything that has happened after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. I think we just found out why Ohio has the most astronauts in America.
They all want to get on there.
I'm just saying, there was always a joke. What's going on in Ohio that makes people want to leave planet Earth? If you go out in the woods and you got this damn beast claw thing out there, I don't want to know what's in the rest of the states. I'm done with planet Earth. I'm out of here. Yeah. I get it.
I'm checking out.
We talked to one of our good friends of the show, Clint Esposito. He tries to bring up the conspiracy thing a lot with Charles and I, and he's big into the portals and there's places on Earth that obviously the veil is thin. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of seems like one of those places, because that reminds you like things like in the movies where, you know, like the Predator, like you said, like Predator, where he was shimmering and you could see through him. Like that just reminds you of something, like something's not quite right there.
Otherworldly.
It's between the physical realm and the immaterial.
Something that's always scratched my brain is the Navigator story and how the maps in like 1500 had something like 5,000 to 8,000 more islands than maps in the 1800s and 1900s. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, so yeah, water rose. I get it. But you have all this crap hidden in these caves and these beautiful underwater pockets that just, for some reason, nobody wants to go looking for. And I'm like, do you have how much history right now is just chilling in an air pocket underwater somewhere?
There is a lot. What was that story, Patrick?
Charles is a big mud flood, and he would probably like Tartaria. He would probably really enjoy that.
Yeah. So Sean, we were talking about earlier, Sean Hibbler, he is actually doing a mud flood documentary. So that is currently in the works.
Ooh. I listened to him, and I didn't realize how much of his stuff got like shadow banned on YouTube.
Huge.
It's terrible.
It's so frustrating.
Dude, this guy used to get millions of views, Charles, and all of a sudden, like, you can't even search his videos. Like, the originals. Yeah, you can't find them.
Yeah. The mud flood was super interesting to me also. It's just crazy to me that one day you had, what, 5 or 6 people that went, yeah, no, just build the same thing on top of it. It'll be fine. And everyone's just, yeah, all right, cool. Like, the whole sacrificing so it'll rain thing. Like, one guy just woke up and was like, yo, if we kill this dude, it's going to rain in 4 days, I promise. And how many times did they have to kill that dude for it to finally rain? Like, it couldn't have been that many. No one would have listened to him.
Yeah, if we're talking in Mexico with the Aztecs, there was like tens of thousands of sacrifices. Tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you were happy to die.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I won't say all of them were happy to die, but a lot of them, it wasn't 100%.
There was a huge
spread for you. Yeah. Yep, there was there was quite a few that this was an honor to have your still beating heart cut out of your chest and... Yikes. No, not a fan of that. I like to keep it in place.
The human mind has always been just so amazing to me because of these things, right? Like, who just woke up and went, yo, dude, this is what we got to do. This is what I was told. And everyone's hasn't been wrong.
If you think about it, it wasn't something they were told. These are learned habits. We know this from... Charles always brings up the caveman thing. Like, how did those guys learn to have tools? And it's like,
how did they eat?
I don't believe they were. I don't believe any of that crap. Like the lost history with Hibbler. Like, we believe it. Yeah, definitely. Right. Charles, you said this. Remember in the Amazon, they're digging up history.
Oh, yeah.
Getting past the 12,000 year mark where scientists had said that it's not possible. It's not possible. Yeah. But it is.
There's things happening that's rewriting history. For one, we're finding out that it wasn't confirmed. But there was a Spanish expedition in America well before all the rest.
Well, sure. How did the camels get in Texas?
There's a rock in a museum. I was like about to take a nap. I was falling asleep. My last thought about it was, oh shit, another rock in America. Like Plymouth Rock. Now we got this rock. I'm like, how many damn rocks we got? We got them all.
Yeah, there is. And it's in... I'm going to say it's so easy to cover up history. Maybe not so much now, but even that, with the internet, you literally can make things disappear. And that's it. Written history was a lot better, but, you know, it's still easy just to rewrite history and just say this never happened. You got to, it's like maybe 1 or 2 generations and then it's gone.
And then
completely.
It's gone. It's super frustrating, right? Like, you can't, you go and do museum. Patrick brought up the caveman, and here we go in the caveman thing. So here's my thought process with it. You go into the museum, and you look at these cavemen, and they don't have any fangs. Mm-mm, that was awesome. We don't have any fangs. Oh, you're good.
The police. It's actually the police. They drive by, and they go, meh. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. They don't have any claws. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that these were at some point meat eaters, right, which was also a whole nother conversation. The most precious thing they have is food, and they're just going to randomly toss it on the most destructive thing they know, which is fire, start cooking this random-ass glorious meal like it's something better. I think
more than likely maybe one of their friends fell on the fire, Charles, and they were just that hungry and they figured it out that it's much better cooked than it is raw.
Right. But again, though, like with what? Plant eating teeth and perfectly manicured fingernails with no claws.
Yeah.
How did this? They didn't have damn knives and forks and spoons. So that's always been one of my like unanswerable questions, right? How'd they eat? How'd they get that meat off the bone? Like, you can't tell me they just went up and went, ah.
It's possible.
Because they were very animalistic.
Yeah. But yeah, I do agree with you. Actually, that's a good point, but it's very animalistic. But if we do look at apes, the great apes, chimpanzees, they don't necessarily have fangs, but they mate and
they don't have much of a problem.
No. Yeah. And they are brutal. I was watching a couple videos.
Maybe it is something as simple as they had ape like strength, but it just, it feels like Darwin and ape-like strength doesn't really mix. And I've watched Darwin's theory do its thing for a while. Even today, when people are trying to do everything they can to stop that man's theory from doing its thing, it's still finding a way past safety labels and AI hazarding. It's a beautiful process. So
I was like, what are you talking? Oh, yes. Survival. But not as much anymore. No, that's the problem, though.
Right.
Is that we've made the world too safe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And there's used to be the survival of the smartest, survival of the fit, survival of the smartest, and survival of the fittest. Before it was survival of the fittest. Now it's survival of the smartest. But now it's survival of everyone. But you could be real dummy and do some really stupid, but Idiocracy is where we're coming into.
I love that movie.
It's a great documentary.
It is. Oh my God. You said that. Yeah.
It's why I don't own a pair of Crocs.
Yeah.
You know the story behind Crocs and the movie Idiocracy?
No, I don't actually.
Okay. So in the movie Idiocracy, they're wearing Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
And the designer basically went out and grabbed what they thought wouldn't make it. There's no way that these are going to be in the future. We'll be good.
Let's find the ugliest shoes. Yeah.
Yes. Fast forward to today.
Oh my God.
The father-in-law and I, we laugh about it often. I'm like, I want a pair of Crocs because they look comfy as hell. But knowing what I know,
I have had the Croc flip-flops.
Yeah.
And those were good, but they look like any other regular flip-flop. But
yeah. So that's been fantastic. Wow, what a great answer. Yeah, there's so much craziness going on. It's hard for science today. Science and I have two really big issues with each other. I'm not sure if it knows that I have issues with it, but
fair enough.
Sooner rather than later, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it names the things the way it names it. I just, the names they choose for random ass things makes absolutely no sense to me. We get it. You read a book faster than me, but you don't have to name it these dumbass things. I don't like that. The stars, astronomy and whatnot, that's cool. They do pretty easy shit, right? Hey, check out that black hole in the sky. What are we going to call it? A black hole.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I like them. I like them a lot. But the other thing I have a really big issue with is that they have this weird thought process that if we can't do it today, they couldn't do it yesterday.
The arrogance.
Yeah, absolutely. So everything before 1800 is primitive. So to scientists today, those who built the pyramid, which we have proof that even 2,000 some odd years ago, the tops of the pyramid weren't even there. So go back even further to when those suckers were built.
Yeah.
Whoever built those was the same people who we were just talking about. How the hell did they eat their food?
Yeah, exactly. And I do buy into the breakaway civilization or a advanced civilization. Mm-hmm. And everybody's, oh, no, we were dumb. Yeah, there was a lot of us. There was probably a majority of us that were these cavemen eating our meat and trying to think what the fire is going to do, cook it.
Yeah.
But there was an advanced civilization. And there is too many, we're talking Atlantis. So there's too many talks about Atlantis and rumors about Atlantis for it to not be real. Yeah. In denial of that, denial of Plato coming forward and saying, I heard this through a monk that this that is actually exists. And that's not the only person who's heard this story about Atlantis. And right. Yeah.
It's one of 10 or 11 stories that has never changed throughout time.
Yep.
Because it's crazy. Which is almost impossible to think about, right? Because you could tell somebody that you had a wet fart and on Friday you shit your pants, right? You don't even get a full week anymore. And these are stories that have lasted throughout time.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
Other than a lot of the New Age spirituality has changed what Atlantis is, and everybody's from Atlantis, and Atlantis was this perfect place, but it wasn't. It was a place of high technology and arrogance. It ended up becoming arrogance was, in my opinion, was their downfall.
Which I believe the
dare we say it was a land filled with
Zoroastrianism.
Zoroastrianism.
This goes way back. So Zoroastrianism in this 11,000-year life cycle was like the first basic religion, we would say. It was actually fantastic until you get to the end. So how it works is, let's say you stole something as a child or an adult. Mm-hmm. The community took that as their failure. So for 7 or more days, as it was needed, the community would shower you with gifts and remind you of the good that you have done and what that good does and the good that you continue to do and what it could do. And you have 3 chances at this beautiful life. But if you do something again on the 4th, we fucking kill you because evil is within and we don't want that shit spread. So it's really cool until the end, like I said. But one of the cool things about Zoroastrianism is that there was like no houses on a hill, right? Almost all the houses were the same. It didn't matter the family size. It was more about community. It was about the survival. It was like
communism slightly in that sense.
Yeah. It was about the survival. But, as I'm saying, there's some cool parts about it.
Which I understand, though. It's everybody's equal. We want to keep that on a level playing field. And that's understandable.
And then a branch of other things happened, and you started to get houses on the hill. And
Saudi Arabia is already doing this with the Lion Charles right now. So,
That's crazy.
That is a whole nother level of craziness. Mm-hmm. That's just I have too much money. Let's see if I can create a utopian society and see how it works. Probably not going to work out very good.
No. Solar power, it should work out just fine. They're in a desert.
What is that scientific study that they have with the rats? They do the rat utopia where the rats end up having king rats, and there's a king and like
didn't
a
the
hierarchy.
Rats like start killing each other too at a certain point then? Yeah.
They give them everything they need and they still go to they go to this weird hierarchy where there's a king
Lord of
there's
the
a
flies.
King rat.
Lord of the flies.
One of my late night I should have been in bed already. I'm well medicated thoughts is that the earth cycle is just like an ant farm for warrior souls, right? It's no matter what the human race does, we're always just building up for the next time we got to fight each other. I'm like, this 11,000 year cycle has been wild.
This age, they're not going to get very many of them out of this one. This cycle's going to be bad.
Yeah, like, they're all going to have blue and purple hair, and they're all going to be have their keyboards typing.
Sure. If you guys like clowns, we're going to give you some jokers. So there'll be a lot of jesters coming out of this one.
Yeah.
And I'm, what if aliens come and attack us? I'm like, honestly, if there's other people out there, which I've heard in reference, and I believe this with everything inside of me, when you ask the experts, are there aliens, and you hear no, right? Technically, that person just went to the ocean and filled a glass of water, a 16-ounce glass, and went, are there any fish in the ocean? And looked at that glass and went, clearly not. So I'm not so worried about that because I'm more than sure they haven't figured out how not to kill themselves yet. And I think we're all just on this same basic galactic cycle where, hey, we're just chilling in our own ozones.
problem trying to kill each other. Need to redefine alien, because alien is a term, is a very vague term. It could be a lot of different things.
I was just talking about not alien, but the word ET, extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
So and if we like to break down that word, terrestrial means of this earth, and right. extra means you're an extra of this earth. So where are they from?
Yeah.
Are they really from outer space, or are they from inner space, or are they from right. lands that we don't see? And they're actually just the breakaway civilization that I was talking about earlier, there's, you know, like this advanced civilization.
Yeah. They're really starting to understand that. Incredibly more likely that it's interdimensional than it is anything. The only way to travel is with sound and with vibrations, reverberation, all these things. And it makes sense because there's so many people that talk about yoga and about it. Why do these things work? Why do they work? Ask the healing people.
Not only that, too.
Why are there so many books about it as well?
You look at all this ancient technology that we dig up, and everyone's super enamored by the sound effects that you can either achieve or one of the temples in India there.
The guy in Florida, Charles, that built that castle out of coral, and they said they never saw the guy building it. Yeah.
Yeah. They said he used sounds to levitate the blocks.
Yeah.
And I had a guest on from she was from Egypt. She's now living in the U.S. Yeah. She talks about what the pyramids were really built for, which was they were generators and like healing generators as well. And the King's Chamber wasn't meant for. And that's another thing that needs to be said, is that those great pyramids, everybody's their tombs. Never was there a body found in them. That's what the Valley of the Kings was for.
Yeah.
And if you look at some of those stairs in the Great Pyramid, some of the granite is melted. It is literally melted and flowing. The stairs are flowing, which is so fascinating, because I think they had some sort of fusion of sorts that went awry there.
Yeah. And it's still vibrating today.
Isn't that why they found all that nuclear glass out in the desert too? They were talking about, they're like, how there was no nuclear explosions. How'd they get nuclear glass?
Well, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and that takes us to the whole other word. When we start talking about, what is it, Vishnu? It's the Indian...
Vishnu, I think.
Vishnu, Vishnu? And they talked about these floating castles, and they had these battles, and they created these battles. There was these devices, these weapons that created light.
Yeah,
they created a light that burned, and it's about nuclear.
And you're going even further back to, or close to it, the tower at Alexander. Had a beam on it that said could melt the ship as it approached.
Did you read Chariots of the Gods?
I have not. Watched the documentary on that one, though, but many years ago, though, unfortunately. I need to refresh myself on that one.
I think that's a book that I could probably read, because the old lady says I don't read enough. So
Was that Stitchin? Was that Stitchin who wrote that?
I think it's Stitchin, Zachariah Stitchin. Yeah. Exactly. It's one of those things where it's like, this is one of those people a lot of people don't want to associate themselves with, but
I have no problem. I've gotten to the point now where I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. It's like,
I'll pick anybody's brain as long as I get a chance to get inside of it for a minute here.
Yeah. History is about to change regardless. As Pat had brought up earlier in the show, or earlier in our conversation, we're hitting the archaeology, since I can't say the other word right now.
Archaeological?
Yeah, there it is. We're hitting the point in our Earth's crust where we are surpassing the 10,000 year and entering the 11 to 15,000 year mark, where we are now finding things that shouldn't be there, or buildings that shouldn't be built the way they're built. And it is interesting to me that if time wipe, let's say something happened today to all of us, okay, in 5,000 years, 5 to 10,000 years, all of our modern would be gone.
Yeah.
It would be like a dinosaur fart, which is a fantastic joke, by the way. I told this to my father-in-law and lost the room. So matter can't be created or destroyed, right? Mm-hmm. And when you fart, one of them smelly ones that creates this beautiful gas, and gas is thus a matter. So are we just walking around smelling dinosaur farts all day? Like,
it's true. We're drinking dinosaur piss too.
Dinosaur piss.
Did you hear about, this is what's wrong with the podcast thing too, though. If you get too big, you can create this crazy media
frenzy. So Rogan had this person on his podcast. I don't think we really need to know his name. But anyway, he talked about the East River, and the people were jumping into this river looking for the mammoth bones that he said that were dumped in there years ago. Because mammoth bones go for thousands, tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars, if you find a certain bone out of their body. They dumped, I think it was a National History Museum. Some New York museum dumped all these bones out there, supposedly. These people went out there in droves, like with their scuba suits, and they're digging through the river. The silt, if they had dumped these 40, 50 years ago, the amount of silt and stuff that's over top of these, it's got to be like 3-4 feet thick.
Yeah. That's the same thing with the oceans. It's befuddling to me that the technology we have today, we can't utilize to do some of the most, in theory, simplistic things, right? I don't know, looking within a mile into the ocean's crust to see, or the ocean floor to see what the hell's down there or what's looking at you. It seems every couple of months we find a new Greek city just off the coast of somewhere. It's like, how the hell did you not see that before?
Right. I guess that leads us right into yours. What's the craziest experience that you've ever had personally?
Oh, okay. So there's a couple, actually. There's the one that kind of spurned me to take this path that I did. So I'll do that one, which was I was about to, and it's funny because I write everything down now, but trying to remember what happened at that age, it was either, I was somewhere between the ages of 17 to 19. And I had gone out with some friends. And it's a bit of a change of pace from talking ancient history to this, but
we're good.
I had gone out with some friends and come back home. And I remember this night because this night always sticks out to me. The northern lights were out and I was sitting outside, of course, in Canada, very common, and just watching them for almost a half an hour. It's just amazing. And I'm like, okay, I got to be up early in the morning for work. I worked at a grocery store at the time. And so I go in, get ready for bed and go lay down. And for some reason, I just can't sleep. But you're just like, okay, and you're watching the clock. It's okay, if I fall asleep right now, I'll have 7 hours and 10 minutes of sleep. And then 6 hours and 47 minutes of sleep. But it keeps going less and less because I just couldn't fall asleep. And so I was finally at the point where I'm just like, oh my God, I need to fall asleep. And that's when I just got this urge, not an urge, but just look up. So I'm laying in bed and I roll to my back and I look up, and floating above me, I can see perfect form of a head. I can see his shoulders. I can see the torso. Around the waist area is when it drifted off into the smoke. Now, the body, everything that I saw was this like dark black. It was blacker than my bedroom. So you could see it all. But when it got to the waist area, like I couldn't see hands because they're beside it. So it was about the forearm, mid forearm. Yeah. It went into this white wispy smoke. And now, we talked about earlier about the glowing eyes, right?
Yeah.
When I told you about that creature.
Yeah.
Here we go again. This creature had red glowing eyes. Again, not like flashlights, but they were incandescent red. And I was laying there, and everybody asked, well, like, how long were you laying there for? I don't know. I don't know how long this thing was there. It probably was anywhere between about five seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
And I couldn't move. Which brings me to another thing where everyone's, oh, you had sleep paralysis. I'm like, no. When you are terrified or something is there, you either have the three Fs. It's fight, flight, or freeze. And everybody forgets the freeze part because that's what it is. I was I'm scared stiff. I couldn't move. I'm laying there. And I don't know if you can hear that. Sorry, as the vendor is driving by. Yeah. Okay. Back on track.
Yeah.
Yes. So I was frozen there, and it must have been there, like I said, 5 seconds, could have been more, could have been less. I can't tell you. And I just could not move. It was gone, and I laid there just as stiff as a board, could not move. The next thing I know is I was waking up in the morning. And now I need to preface this with saying that prior to all this happening, there was a lot of action. I don't want to say action. There was a lot of activity. That's the word, sorry.
Yeah.
There was a lot of activity in the house. Now, a couple of years prior to this, my parents had went away for a couple of weeks. So, of course, what do we do as me and my sisters? We have parties and whatnot. And, let's go to the nearest Toys R Us store and buy a Ouija board. Okay. Oh, so we bought a Ouija board and brought that home. It was after that things escalated to more of a negative side to this thing. And there were some other things that happened, too. But this, I would say, was like the moment in my life where I was so terrified. I don't know what to do. Don't tell anybody in the morning, because what do you tell them? And it took me years to tell the story. But yeah, so that was it. And that kind of pushed me in a direction of, I remember the movie Hellboy, where they said, we are the things that go bump in the night. We are the things that bump back. And it was because of that, that I ended up taking the path that I did. I ended up becoming a bit of an apprentice under a shaman in Canada. And then a medicine woman took me in, and for about three years, and I'd say trained me or taught me many ways of protecting myself and getting rid of these things. Yeah. So it was quite interesting.
Now, Canada has a very rich history of skinwalkers, and with the natives, it's just, I find that history in Canada to be wild, because isn't there a place that there's like a headless valley or something in Canada, like up towards between British Columbia? Look into that. That is a very interesting one.
Really? And it's near British Columbia.
I believe it's British Columbia, Alberta. Maybe it's that western end.
That's where I'm from, Alberta. Yeah. And I haven't heard of that. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't heard of that. I know there's like the head smashed in buffalo jump, but that has nothing to do with Headless Valley or something like that.
No, this was actually like a story of it might have been back in like the early 20s or something. It was part of the gold rush. They were heading north, these people. And this guy went with him and his wife were up there looking for gold. She went back to the lower 48, and I think he stayed, and he never came back. So she sent a search party to look for him, and they found the guy, but he was headless. So they didn't know if it was a tribe that got to him or something, because back then they're still wild up there. It's untamed wilderness. It could happen, but they called it the Headless Valley. It's a story. I believe I read it on it wasn't Reddit. It was like a podcast blog, if you want to call it, I'll find it. It might be Theories of the Third Kind. I think they might have had it. I don't know if you know those guys.
I do not, but I need to look that up.
I've always laughed. If I was this creature of any sorts, right? Mm-hmm. Bright lights is not where I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm exactly going to these places without cell phones. I'm going to these places without your everyday. So to hear these stories, it's just, it's crazy to me, man. I still get goosebumps watching some of them crazy ass videos on the reels and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't be watching too much of this and be feeling this at the same time, because I'm like, I can't be inviting this crap.
Right? That's important, inviting this crap, actually. That's something that I try to have some sort of do something before any of these really intense podcasts, these interviews I'm going to know. You need to, because you're talking portals and whatnot. Yeah. One of the things I used to do is clearing houses, okay? And when you do it, you have to clear. It's important to clear any doorway. A doorway is a connection from one world to another. And that's mirrors, but that's also screens. Yeah. Your cell phone, what is it? Your cell phone is pretty much a scrying device. What is a scrying device? It is a black mirror. Oh, what is this? It's a black mirror.
Oh, so watch that show, by the way. Yeah, that, man.
That is a mind trip.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because it's when I was watching or learning more about the Templars, mm-hmm. and how there was Templar artifacts found in Lake Superior and Lake Huron, and which is weird. So I believe this was on Ancient Aliens at this point on the History Channel, and it dove in that the Templars were utilizing these underworld portal systems to take themselves to the other portions of the planet they couldn't get to accomplish their missions that they were gifted out.
Charles, this is right up your alley. That's how the Germans got to Antarctica. That's why they built the.
I'm telling you,
New Schwabenland.
Yeah, the last mission the Templars were on, to me, was one of the most fascinating ones. It was basically the Tomb of Jesus itself, and
I'm gonna send you the link. It's called please Secrets of the Nahani, the Valley of the Headless Men.
Cool.
And the episode I was watching, it was definitely a History Channel twist. They showed the cleaning of the Tomb of Jesus, and it was actually opened. And they showed that there was a cross on the tomb of Jesus. But for some reason, on the camera angle, the rest of the room was upside down. And I'm like, man, so you're sitting here telling me that the damn Templars went to the tomb of Jesus and went, yo, that isn't the tomb of Jesus. And the church went, we got to kill you. Like, you can't be doing that.
Wow.
So, and the way the History Channel portrayed it was, you could be looking at the first cross after Christ. And I was like,
wow.
Yeah. What happened to the rest of the room?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's so fascinating. There's so much history that is just covered up, and there's so many secret groups, secret clubs. And where does this truth begin, and where do the lies end?
I got to tell you, Rye, I believe with everything inside of me that you are on a path that will lead you to those conversations. And I can't thank you enough for being a guest in our podcast. I can't wait to start listening to your podcast. I don't like to get to know the person before I talk to them. I like to get to know them as I talk to them. And then
I understand afterwards. I completely understand.
And the fact that Patrick has already been 12 episodes in means I'm going to be pumped. I can't wait to hear these stories.
I have some amazing interviews coming up. Like, one was, well, there's three that I was super excited about. One I haven't done yet, but two that I have. One is about portals and time travel in Disneyland.
I can't wait. That is so up my alley. It's not even funny.
So the guy's name is Walter Bosley.
You've heard of it? Is that a twist on Walt Disney?
It's very similar, but yeah, you got to hear his story. And he's great at telling it. And then I just had L.A. Marzulli on. I don't know if you know who L.A. Marzulli is. He's written tons of books and has tons of documentaries about On the Trail of the Nephilim. And he does in-depth studies with DNA. And I just had him on last Thursday. So that episode is coming out.
I want to get him my DNA.
I can't wait for that one either. He always gives a great interview. I love
this. This beard screams. old blood.
And then lastly, I have I think it's Gary Wayne, the Genesis 6 conspiracy as well.
He's the one that the book that I purchased one of his books.
Yeah.
I purchased Genesis 6. Yep.
He's coming on. That's the one I'm waiting for. I was able to book him. And like I said, it's like Wayne Gretzky, you miss every shot you don't take. And so I was like, why not? So he's coming on at the end of April. So that was like 3 months booking kind of thing. But by all means, these guys are amazing. And L.A. Marzulli was talking about coming down here to Mexico, because something in the future I want to do is plan a trip, like an archaeological kind of trip to a bunch of the sites that are near me. And there's this new train that is put in called the Tren Maya. And it goes to all of these sites. So it's like super easy to try and organize it.
Well, man, if you're gonna invite people down, or Charles and I will jump on that train.
Yeah, we will absolutely go.
We will buy our plane tickets and get down there. We want to go see it.
Yeah, so I'm thinking next year, even if I could do it, so in 1 year's time, and have it for the equinox, because then if you go to Chichen Itza, you can watch the serpent.
The thinning of the veil.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, we may be amateurs, but we're well-versed armchair amateurs.
Me too. Yeah.
And please give yourself the biggest shout out. Where can we find you? Where anything and everything you've got.
The biggest one I try to push everyone to is my YouTube channel. So it's Codex of Curiosities, which is a mouthful, but I like alliteration. And then there's the YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple, all major audio platforms. And of course, I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook group, and I'm kind of in TikTok and Instagram, but those are my main focus areas, is YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook.
You do really well on the internet. Your presence is very well. It's vast. Just a simple Bing search of your name and nothing else pulls up everything you just mentioned, including locations of all these. But you'll be able to find all of that and more in the links and comment section, as always.
Perfect. Can I just give one last thing?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There was a split with, I previously was a co-host of a podcast called The Lost Frequency. We split. It was an amicable split, more or less. Yeah. And so I have all those other episodes. I have them in a vault. I call it like the canceled podcast, but yeah. All the new ones are all up and coming as well. So there's a lot of material that's over here, which is me with Tom. And then there's a lot of material, which is all my new stuff that's coming out.
So the YouTube is Codega's Codex of Curiosities.
Yes,
you bet. You
I
bet.
Really enjoy that. That's fantastic. Awesome. You've been a phenomenal guest. Patrick,
you guys have been fantastic hosts as well.
Oh, no, we appreciate having you on. Like I said, Charles and I, we like to get into the obscure and the weird and the... Yeah. It's to us, Charles was in the military. So he's got this experience where he's probably heard things from people and it's more of the hush, can't say, can't tell. Type mm-hmm. deal. So he probably has stories, but we're never going to get to hear him, Charles.
Allegedly.
So if you guys are ever interested, if you guys are ever interested in anybody that I've ever interviewed, by all means, just ask. I can, like, the most I can do is say, here's their information, or I can talk to them personally. And like Matt, that story about the Ohio Youngstown Beast, man, that one is
a killer. I don't know if you noticed, but we're Michigan fans, so we would love to talk to
about a beast.
A beast in Ohio.
And you guys are going to love this. He's actually a radio host. Like, he's an announcer for football, amateur football in the Ohio area, too. So
Even better. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You're like,
that's the cherry.
That's the cherry. I was already getting the ice cream. Yeah. Well, gosh. Yeah, again, thank you so much. You've been an absolute pleasure. I know our listeners are going to find this entire episode fantastic. Thank you so much. And don't forget, for all of our listeners, get yourself one of these here mugs, Boys in the Woods, Shop 906. And I want the mug. Just comment, I want the mug in the comment section. Hit subscribe. Get yourself one of them there. Cool mugs for free. Smile more. The world's a better place with you in it.